Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Well, there's more evidence that we have entered the cleanup phase of the war. We've got eyewitness accounts, according to ABC News, saying that Saddam Hussein himself was in the complex where we dropped the first bombs on the first night of the war. So we've got that. We've got thousands of Iraqis surrender, an entire division of 8,000 soldiers surrendered to coalition forces in the south, and the mother of all surrenders, an entire division of Iraqi army numbering 8,000 surrendered today. That's and once again, the Iraqi soldiers are surrendering to journalists. I think Saddam forgot to put in his training programs that you don't surrender to journalists. It's just an oversight. You know, when you run an entire government all by yourself, you can't possibly think of everything. And then we have, let's see, what else? We have, well, CNN was kicked out of Baghdad. It's about time. CNN was kicked out. We'll talk about that. You know, depending on the earlier you get expelled from Iraq, the more effective and truthful you've been, the more patriotic, the more pro-America you've been. So what else is going on in the war? These are all headlines. We'll look at these stories. Turkey has agreed to allow our fighter jets and bombers to fly over its country. And we've got demonstrations, anti-war demonstrations across the U.S. 1,300 arrested in San Francisco. We'll see if we could go to San Francisco later for a report from the streets. 1,300. And, you know, in New Mexico, the anti-war protesters went to a home owned by Donald Rumsfeld and trashed the grounds and, you know, just basically were the slobs that protest anti-war protesters often tend to be. All right, what else is going on? So, just a lot of very good progress. Very good progress. We've got 8 objectives in this war, and we're closing in on all 8. So we've also secured a number of oil fields. But, so we're going to start with, all right, so we're going to start by talking about these anti-war protests. Remember yesterday we reported on the protesters in France, and they didn't stop Saddam, the anti-war protesters, and they didn't stop the war, but they did destroy a McDonald's in Paris. And only if the French would have put as much effort into fighting the Nazis as they have Big Macs, maybe they would have accomplished something. At any rate, now in New Mexico, the anti-war protesters have gone after 2 of Donald Rumsfeld's properties. And that's bizarre. A home owned by him outside of Taos, New Mexico. And then about a mile away, the police were at the home, protecting the home. So the protesters, a few hundred of them, marched about a mile away, and they got to another property that he owned, got onto the property, and then basically trashed the property, sticking no war stickers on property and just throwing debris around the yard. So that's – but 1,300 anti-war protesters arrested today in San Francisco. Let's go to our man on the street – there in Gomorrah, Doug McBurney. How is it out in San Francisco?
Bob, well, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I just want to make clear for everyone in the listening audience that I am not a part of the embedded media with the protesters out here.
Okay, good.
I'm just a not so neutral observer.
Okay.
And just to give the folks an idea of my location, I am right in downtown San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people know the city very well, but well, I'll just put it this way. I'm within a running sore of the Castro District.
Uh-oh.
Very close.
All right. Ugly.
Yeah. Very close.
So, Doug, we've talked about anti-war protests on the show over the last couple of weeks, and that the last place in the world you're going to get a reasoned argument against the war is at an anti-war protest.
I would have to agree with that, Bob. I spent the morning looking out the window of my second-story hotel here, the second-story window of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
where the protesters were taking part in what I guess they call hit-and-run civil disobedience.
Right.
Where they're basically trying to shut down the city, and they're apparently having some success. In fact, they're apparently having quite a lot of success. I would guess somewhere in excess of 100 protesters, marching band of protesters. And the most intelligent and intelligible thing that I was able to decipher was 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your racist war, 5, 6, 7, 8, don't inflame Arab hate.
All right.
Yeah, that was the only. Now I got to admit, I didn't have the nerve to actually go down there.
Yeah.
Because I was watching on Fox News, and I had just learned that the second U.S. Marine had lost his life.
Right.
And I feared that if I went down and actually confronted some of these dirtbags, that I might get myself into some trouble.
Well, and you were a Marine.
I was a Marine, and I tell you, it really. Yeah. The contrast in looking at Fox News and seeing the announcement of the death of yet another Marine, and then looking out on the street and seeing these filthy, disgusting, foul hippies, it just turned my stomach.
Mm.
And I did say a few things, but the police encouraged me to be quiet because I was going to inflame the situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I do want to report. I've been doing some investigating into the story out here in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't always send reporters to cover stories, but so we want to get our money's worth here.
Yeah, well, we don't get this opportunity very often, but I'm so glad that we do, that we are able to cover this one. The San Francisco Police Department this afternoon found a backpack full of Molotov cocktails in a downtown alley.
Mm.
Fortunately, the police recovered them before they could be used. And then another report on the creative and the intellectual level of debate.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group out here called Punkers for Peace.
Yeah.
Have you already talked about this?
No, I haven't heard of them.
They staged what they called a vomit in.
Oh, we talked about that last night.
Yeah, the vomit in is the big news all over San Francisco today because apparently it hadn't been cleaned up. And it still stinks out here. People can't walk into the courthouse. They have to pinch their nose.
It's the shock and hurl protest. And, you know, Doug, we figured out that since they're going to be throwing up after, you know, once the bars close down anyway, they might as well give some purpose to it.
Right, exactly. Well, I got to tell you, Bob, all the mailboxes, the newspaper boxes, store windows are littered with graffiti. Rather unintelligible and almost always vulgar against the war.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, it really lets you know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, who the thinking people are, and who basically are just a bunch of street rabble.
Right, looking for an opportunity to party, to throw up, to get sick in public.
Right, right.
And so they're not, but they don't have any reasoned alternative approach to how to free 23 million Iraqi people?
No, I didn't hear any of that today.
No?
No, I didn't. But you know what? The SFPD is saying that the street protests that have been going on here over the last few days are, they say it's civil disobedience to an extent never before seen in the Bay Area. Not even during the Vietnam War was there this type of activity directed really against businesses and against police.
Mm-hmm.
And today, right here on Kearney Street in San Francisco, I witnessed well in excess of 100 police, phalanx after phalanx, basically lining the streets, tapping their batons in rhythm and marching and sometimes running. And I thought that they were going to squeeze the protesters in some kind of pincer movement,
right,
you know,
right.
and start filling up the paddy wagons. But they didn't. They just
All
chased
right.
them around.
Well, thank you, Doug. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here at Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, we've been telling you about the audio albums that we have, Teaching Through the Bible, and it is fun, I'll tell you. We start out with the plot, an overview of the whole Bible, and we get the law of Moses, and oh, the tree, we can't forget the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then the last days, and an album called Details Galore, which... Now, it's supposed to be a secret what it's about, but I'll tell you. It lists every single miracle in the Bible, every miracle. And so you could sign up for the monthly albums or just pick out, if you're interested in any of them, get one, get two. Welcome back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. It was good to get that report from Doug McBurney. Actually, he was headed that way for business. We said, Doug, since you're going to be out there, be our man on the street reporter. And he said, sure. And it's just, hey, that's a lot of people to be arrested, though, 1,300. You know, the civil rights movement, I spoke to a man who was in the civil rights movement. In fact, he was one of the 300 freedom riders who ended up sitting in jail for a long time. The leaders all got bailed out of jail, and the followers all sat in there for weeks, couple months. Well, at any rate, he's a historian of the civil rights movement, and he said that in the whole movement, there were about 10,000 people arrested in civil disobedience. And so this anti-war movement, you know, it's got the hippies going, and they don't care if they get arrested because nothing happens to them. You know, when Christian pro-lifers, fathers and mothers with families, jobs, mortgages, when they get arrested, the courts across the country throw the book at them and also might throw them in jail for weeks, months, or years. And I know firsthand what I'm talking about. But in the pro-life movement, Operation Rescue, where we were sitting in front of abortion mills and saving the lives of children who were scheduled to be killed that day, all over the country, hundreds of rescues. There were about 50,000 people arrested in peaceful civil disobedience, trying to put our bodies in between the child killer and the children. And so 50,000 arrests, that's a much bigger movement than the 10,000 of the civil rights movement. Yet the media has been reporting that the anti-war protest may be the largest civil disobedience effort in the country since the 60s, since the civil rights movement. Now, what's with that? What is with that? How about the pro-life movement? How about hundreds of thousands of protesters, millions of protesters at hundreds of events, probably over 1,000 events, and 50,000 arrested? So the pro-life movement really has dwarfed the civil rights movement, except that the media is against the pro-life movement, therefore killing babies. And so therefore, the pro-life movement doesn't get much credit. Some people say, well, you can't use that tactic. It'll hurt the image of the pro-life movement. And our response is, what image? It'll hurt our reputation. What reputation? You can't hurt the image of the pro-life movement if you tried. Well, that's a bit of hyperbole there, but Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. So we'll talk a little bit about the war here. This entire division of 8,000 soldiers surrendered to American forces in southern Iraq, their 51st Infantry Division, the whole division, surrendered as coalition forces advanced toward Basra. Now, that's the second largest city in Iraq. This division had 200 tanks. Well, 200 tanks before the war. Not exactly sure how many they had at the time they surrendered. Well, I guess they still had 200 if you count smoldering heaps of twisted metal. But that's neat because that's 8,000 lives that were spared. And while Saddam would prefer that every last one of them died in the battle, Donald Rumsfeld, George W. Bush, they've made very clear that they're very concerned about protecting the lives even of Iraqis who don't want to be there and who are forced at pain of death to be in the army. Oh, and by the way, the 51st Infantry Division of Iraq's regular army, they've got their Republican Guards and their regular army. The 51st was one of the better equipped and trained in Iraq's regular army, and it was the key division to protect Basra, the second largest city. And that's the city, really, that gives you access to the Persian Gulf. Oh, yeah, there's, what's that other city down there? Sara? I think that's where the United Methodists have their headquarters, down in southern Iraq. But at any rate, let's see, what else do we have here? You know, Saddam also, although these guys, you know, even though they were in there because most of them, they were afraid for their lives, a good number of them are also criminals. I mean, Saddam used this division in order to keep down the Shiite Muslims, because Saddam is, his government is largely Sunni Muslim. And so the Sunnis repressed the Shiites, even though the Shiites make up, what, 60% of Iraq? So they're the majority. Let's see, what else do we have? Yeah, and today, now that surrender was today. And it was the largest single unit to surrender en masse. And the Pentagon is saying we're processing troops who surrender as quickly as we possibly can. They're maybe asking people, don't surrender quite so quickly. The mother of all surrenders is now in progress. Now, do you think this will beat the last Gulf Wars episode 1, where we had 90,000 surrender? We'll see. Let's see. And in some cases, this is according to the Associated Press, in some cases, Iraqi troops are surrendering to journalists. That's certainly a repeat. And also U.S. forces advancing across the southern desert to the north are frequently finding Iraqi tanks abandoned in the desert and other weapons. And that's good. That's smart. Many of the Iraqis surrendering are demoralized, poorly equipped, some wearing only T-shirts and carrying worn Kalashnikov rifles left over from the Russians. I kind of felt sorry for them, said one U.S. military official in southern Iraq. A lot of them looked hungry. They haven't been fed in a while. This is a tragedy. I mean, the whole country of Iraq is one huge tragedy. So that was the major obstacle, folks, between our troops in Kuwait and Baghdad. That was the major obstacle. Now, there may be others, and you know, everything doesn't go as planned in war, but that major obstacle has now been removed. Well, it removed itself. U.S. forces also secured the port city of Qusar, and that's I think that's the headquarters of the United Methodists down in southern Iraq, whatever that city is. All right, what else do we have? This this report, this just sounds like rumors, but it's ABC's national security correspondent John McQuethy on the air. On the air is saying that Saddam, eyewitness reports say that Saddam was wounded in that with that very first bomb, and he was carried out from the compound on a gurney. Intelligence sources now say there were eyewitnesses at the scene where Saddam's complex was bombed. And John McQuethy, ABC's national security correspondent, said he said this on the air. He said those eyewitnesses say that they saw Saddam Hussein being taken from the wreckage on a hospital gurney, that he had an oxygen mask over his face. In addition, intelligence sources say that there is a lack of communication between Saddam Hussein and his main commanders and to the rest of his government. They are interpreting that as meaning there may be a problem with his health. So intelligence officials are optimistic that something may have happened to the leader of Iraq. Well, and that would be great, and that would shorten the war, and that would save many lives, especially Iraqi lives. So, yeah, that would be great. You know, we have entered the cleanup phase of the war. It's good that the investors now across this country agree with Bob and Ert Live on this. But did you see that the U.S. dollar hit its highest point in months? The dollar's up. Oil prices have plunged. And eventually the price at the gas pump should go down. And my son likes that because he has an SUV. Well, it's a bit old, but it's an SUV. Guzzling SUV? Nathaniel said it's a guzzling SUV. So when oil prices plunge, that'll be good. But it takes a while for them to get to the pumps, those prices. But that's understandable, right? Especially as we have secured major oil fields and we've found things that were wired to be blown up and that were wired like incompetently. And our Navy SEALs have gone in and said, boy, these guys were trying to blow something up, but we don't know what. And so thankfully they know how to unwire something that's been wired. The Dow Jones Industrial has its best week in more than 20 years. The markets agree with the shock and awe campaign. This week, you know, if you have your money in a CD, getting what, 2% interest a year? This week, the markets went up 8.3%. 8% interest in 1 week. That's pretty good. In fact, in the last 8 days, the NASDAQ is up 1,000 points. 13% in 8 days of trading. That's amazing. So shock and awe is doing well. The cleanup phase is well underway. Bob and Yard here, live commercial break. I was telling you about our audio tape albums. And you know how you can get them? Of course, you get one at a time, but you can sign up for the monthly Bible study album, where for $34.95 a month, we will automatically mail to you one Bible study album each month. $34.95 a month. And then it'll arrive somewhere around the middle of the month. And unless you specify otherwise, you know, you could say, well, I want to start with John, or I want to start with Genesis, Exodus, or Romans. But what we recommend is just start at the beginning with the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, and you'll get a series of albums on the overview of the whole Bible, albums with audio tapes in them. Most of them have six audio tapes that run either between an hour and an hour and a half. And then you'll get into books of the Bible like Galatians, Romans, Timothy, Corinthians. Revelation is absolutely fun. And topics. One topic is Nicer Than God, which is interesting, about Christian attitudes and judging and forgiving and all that. And things like predestination and free will and the last days and miracles and healing. It's a lot of fun to study. What does the Bible say? So you could go to the store at kgov.com, click in the upper right-hand corner. The store is just excellent. And you can order online, or you can call us up at 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. And of course, you could talk to us about what your interests are and perhaps what we might have that'll meet your needs. But we have, what, 34 albums, Bible study albums, something like that, and 25 videotapes. And then we have the plot manuscript, 330 pages, overview of the whole Bible, best-selling manuscript. So give us a call or check out the store online. And also, for those of you who want to keep a Christian news call-in show on the air, well, then you might consider a donation, one time or monthly, whatever. We say thank you. Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. So in a bit, we're going to go to the phones now, but then in a bit, we'll talk about the CNN reporters who were kicked out of Baghdad today, and then the eight objectives of the war, how we're doing. Oh, by the way, we've also seized another ship, an Iraqi missile ship, and two tugboats that had at least 50 landmines aboard. So I wonder why they'd have boats with landmines. I would think they'd be sea mines. Now, why is that? I don't quite get that. But let me do this real quick before we, and then we'll get right to the phones. CNN said that its reporters have been expelled from Baghdad by the Iraqi government. And they had two reporters out there, Nick Robertson and Rim Brahimi. And they remained in Baghdad until, you know, after most other reporters had left for safety reasons. And CNN said that it had no idea why their reporters were forced out. Well, you know, the earlier the reporters get expelled from Iraq, the more effective they obviously are, and the more truthful they've been, and the more patriotic to America they've been. You know, Fox News Channel, they had their crew expelled back in February. So they're more patriotic than CNN's. And Peter Arnett, well, he's still in Baghdad and reporting for NBC. Now, Arnett has not quite had to renounce his American citizenship to stay there, but he has had to kiss Saddam's armpits a few times. Have you seen any of that video where Iraqi officials, you know how in the Middle East and even in parts of Europe, southern Europe, they'll kiss one another on the cheeks? Well, Saddam doesn't go for that. When his, like, say, generals and all come up to him, they have to bow their heads and they have to kiss his armpits. They kiss both his armpits. He is one whacked out, egotistical moron. He is one sick dude. All right, let's go to the phones first in Michigan, then Indiana. In Edwardsburg, Dan, speak your mind. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
No, wait one second here. Hey, Dan, go right ahead.
All set?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was reading the Elkhart, Indiana newspaper today.
All right, please speak a little louder.
Sure. I was reading the Elkhart, Indiana newspaper today. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Sure. They have an article here, about a third-page article about the mail that's restricted or welcome, what you can or can't send.
To the troops.
To the troops overseas.
Yeah.
It's evidently regarding troops anywhere in the world, but it also has mail that can or can't be sent to the, especially the troops in the Gulf.
The active duty troops right now.
And it evidently they talked to a Marine recruiter in the area who listed what can and can't be sent.
Yeah.
And they've got the address and everything, and it's basically about mail, but it also includes parcels and everything from families.
All right. So, Dan, this is basically a public service announcement. So tell us, what kind of things can we send?
Okay. Basically, it's the same as when I was in the service. You can send packages up to a certain size, and they tell you not to send whole meat, you know, pork, so forth, things that will spoil.
Right.
And they used to be able to send things to us in the service that was homemade, but now it has to be more or less sealed, individually wrapped. And then it goes on down and says no radio receivers or cordless telephones, scanners, so forth.
Right.
No pork or pork byproducts. And the next thing is what kind of got me a little bit. It says no religious or political materials contrary to the Islamic faith.
Oh, that's a bit of a bummer, huh?
Yeah, when I was in the service, it didn't matter where you were in the world, your family could send you a Bible if you wanted. But
right.
Evidently, if you're
Muslim,
in the Gulf, they can send you a Koran, but they can't send you a Bible. You know.
Right.
And it just surprised me when the way it's stated.
Yeah, that is, you know, we're bending over backwards to try to say that this is not a war against Arabs. It's not against Muslims. It's not against the Iraqi people. It's against a terrorist leader, Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
But you could easily go too far.
Yeah, well, especially because this is an individual choice here. You know, if a serviceman or woman wants to have a Bible sent to him.
Well, but he is in the military.
Yeah,
so,
but
so
like,
if the military says don't do that, his freedom, you know, you lose some of your rights when you enlist.
Well, that's true. It just seems like when I was in the service, it wasn't that way. You know,
well, I agree. I think you know, that's a consideration I would have not taken. I think it is a bit of an insult to the truth and to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I understand their concern, but
well,
that's
the way it's
going
here,
too far.
It kind of excludes anything religious. You know, even a church bulletin from your home church. It specifically says no religious or political materials contrary to the Islamic faith. Now, that's kind of cut the slim, you know. that's a little bit biased.
Now, but how about the Koran? The Koran's okay?
Evidently, because it's not contrary to the Islamic faith. It doesn't say yes or no regarding the Koran.
Well, what if the Koran is contradictory within itself?
Yeah, the thing is, I suppose here they're not going to argue that point.
No, they wouldn't do that, would they?
They evidently don't want to offend the enemy.
All right.
You know, so.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that news, Dan.
Is there a way that I can hold on the line and get your mailing address also?
Yeah, you sure can. Our call screener, thank you for your call. Our call screener will pick up the line and give you our address. And let's go to Goshen, Indiana. Tom, speak your mind.
Hello. I've got a question for you about energy-based healing stuff like
sitting,
for health.
Like crystals and sitting under pyramids and all?
Nothing that radical, but it's like forms of massage where the guy doing it tries to balance the energy flows in a person's body.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, that stuff seems kind of new agey, maybe black magic under a new name or something.
Well, it's hard to say from the little bit of a description you've given. And I know that that who's ever doing that is part of a movement, and the movement could certainly have overtones one way or another. But if, let's say, it's a chiropractor and he says that everything in your body moves through your spine and your entire nervous system controls your entire body, and so we're going to work on the alignment of your spine so that things are flowing easily so that you'll be in better health. And so that is not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that spiritually. And so to what extent what you're talking about is, you know, that concept, it's too little information.
What about, I'd be working on the same principles as like acupuncture and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and even with acupuncture, if somebody attributes to acupuncture some spiritual effect, well, then that's a bit of a problem. But if somebody, whether they're right or wrong, if they think that acupuncture helps because of a physiological reason, well, then it wouldn't be a sin to do it. But it might be a waste of money.
Uh-huh.
But, and I'm not about to get into a debate on acupuncture. I know that people who do it say it's great. I've never done it. I'm not inclined to do it. But so anyway, things that some people may do for occultic reasons, other people may do for absolutely, physical reasons.
And you don't think that would be tainted by its occult origins?
No. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say there's an idol's temple where a pagan religion, and they worship their false god there. And when they worship their false god, they take animals and they do blood sacrifices. And they kill the animals and offer them to their false god. And then they sell that meat in a restaurant on the ground floor of the temple, of the idol's temple. All right? And so you're a Christian. And the idol's temple obviously has, you know, pagan and occultic roots. So is it would it be wrong for you to eat the meat that's offered in the idol's temple, to go there and sit in their restaurant and eat the meat?
Well, the Bible is very clear about that eating meat from animals sacrificed to idols is not a sin.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you know that, Tom. That's great. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the entire chapter is dedicated to this topic, which was more relevant back then than it is today. But the Apostle Paul said you could go in an idol's temple and eat meat sacrificed to idols in their restaurant there, and it's okay. And certainly that has occultic origins, but that's okay. We'll be right back. NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. You know, that it's an interesting discussion, and we'll finish up with Tom when we get back on the air. But we have 1 Corinthians in two of the volumes that we've done, 1 Corinthians Volume 1 and Volume 2. Now, Volume 1 is all about keeping Christians out of trouble as members of the body of Christ. And Volume 2 is about things like communion, tongues, love, nice things, you know. And so among those issues is this chapter, and in these volumes we cover this, on can you eat meat that's been used by pagans, by cultists, to worship their false god? Can you eat that meat? Because in the Mosaic law, you were not allowed to eat the meat. You were not allowed. And Paul dedicates that whole chapter, plus other passages, to say it's okay to eat that meat. Even though in the book of Acts, the 12 apostles said, Paul, can you have your converts avoid eating meat sacrificed to idols? What's with that? Huh. Well, at any rate, if you're interested in what the Bible says about all these things, because they affect our lives today, like Christmas and Halloween, for example, or cultural holidays, or religious holidays, you could sign up for our monthly Bible study album or get the plot manuscript, 330 pages, read through. It's a lot of fun. You'll enjoy it. Well, let me take that back. If you're the kind of person that enjoys learning about theology and doctrine, you'll enjoy reading the plot. Otherwise, money back guarantee. Not everyone, God didn't make everyone the same. Not everyone is inclined, say, to study Greek or study theology, you know, 10, 20 hours a week. God didn't make everyone to do that. Some people do that. Some people don't. Some people are teachers of the word, and some people are not. Of course, we should all teach the Bible to some extent, to one another, to our kids, to our friends, coworkers, neighbors. But as far as full-fledged teachers are concerned, some people get into theology. If you're that kind of person, you might want to read the plot. If you're not, you can listen to the audio tape albums. You'll like it. Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-Yurt. When we're going to go back to Indiana, and then we'll get to New Orleans, one of the cities that we've been on the air for years, and now we're back on in New Orleans. But let's go to back to Indiana. Tom, so did you want to follow up on that?
I think that perhaps the participating in that type of healing would be less like actually eating the meat and more like participating in the sacrifices.
We already discussed that, Tom, and you got to respond directly to my point. I said if the person doing it is doing it for spiritual reasons, then it would be wrong. It would be occultic. But if somebody believes that acupuncture may actually affect the flow of, you know, electrical or chemical messages within your body, and they try it, then it's not occultic. It's physical. It's a form of physical therapy. Now, address that point if you want to.
Sure. If a person, there are a lot of different ways people would try to do something like that. I mean, like wearing charms and amulets or crystals.
Okay, that's a great example. Let's use that. But let's take magnets, for example. All right, back a couple hundred years ago in Europe, they were trying to magnetize everything to cure people of diseases. And we eventually talk about animal magnetism. And they would put magnets on sick people, and then the sick people would eventually die. And then they would charge money for people to sit by magnets, and they decided they'd started to magnetize trees so they could fit more people in. And people would pay whatever amount of money to sit under trees that have been magnetized. Now, all that was stupid. It's stupid. It didn't work. It didn't do anything. But it was not necessarily occultic. It depends on the understanding of the person who's doing it. If even today, plenty of Christians wear magnets. Now, I think it's foolish, personally. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of time and it's a waste of money. But it's not occultic. Just because you have a theory that's wrong, it doesn't mean you're doing occultic things. Now, if somebody says to cure cancer, you got to go to a satanic church and worship the devil, then I would agree with you. But if it's some kind of a physical thing that people could be duped into thinking has a physical impact on their physical bodies, then that's not occultic unless they're doing it for occultic reasons. That's my argument. So do you have a rebuttal to that?
So what you're saying is even if something is a practice that's
that occultists use, Right.
Even performing a practice that is an occult practice, that if a person thinks that there is real reasons why it might work other than being healed by demons or something.
Yeah, I gave an example, I gave the example of the magnets and then of worshiping the devil. Mm-hmm. If somebody says, if you worship the devil, you'll be healed, well, that's a sin. And there's no amount of reasoning or ignorance that could clear someone or justify someone from doing that. But if somebody is told that these magnets, if you sleep on them, it'll help your arthritis, well, it probably will, because just the psychological effect, and they'll feel better. But it's not occultic.
What about one of the traditional, I don't know if you're familiar with Hexaglava, kind of Amish magic, where
I'm not, but I'll let you make this could be your last point of argument.
One of the cures that some of my ancestors used for healing a fever was rubbing the person with a fever with the raw egg, and then the egg would be hard-boiled when they were done, and the person was well.
That's ignorant. That's not occultic.
But how do you explain eggs becoming hard-boiled being rubbed over a person?
Are you thinking a demon boiled it?
Well,
Tom, if you think that, I want to end the conversation.
I don't know of any other explanation.
All right. Well, think about it some more. All right. Thanks for your call. We're going to go to New Orleans. Always the quest for good callers in New Orleans. Miss Lily, speak your mind.
That was a very interesting conversation you just had. God bless you.
Yes.
Excuse me. I just turned into your radio station for the first time, and you sound very interesting. May I ask again your name?
Yes, my name is Bob Enyart.
Enyart. Enyart.
Yes.
Bob. May I call you Bob?
You sure may, and it's only right since I called you Miss Lily.
All right, Mr. Bob. I'm 75 years old, so if I sound like a grandma, I'm a little bit naive and not too knowledgeable. This is why I'm calling you.
Well, grandmas are the best people.
Oh, thank you. May I return to the conversation you were talking to about Iraq?
Yes.
Of course, we grandmas who have been through a depression and three wars and seeing young people die and...
Right.
We are is sad in our heart, and we're praying like mad. That is, we were talking about they thought they found Saddam Hussein.
Yeah,
and they thought that they got him. So speaking,
that he may have been injured with the very first bomb.
Well, I'm sorry about that. He's a human being, but he is a war criminal.
Right,
and I'm wondering, Bob. Why not? Why didn't the international court bring this man before the International War Criminal Tribunal and, like Milosevic, convict him and put him in jail, and that then we wouldn't be at the point where we are?
Well, for
why
one,
didn't they?
Okay. Because Saddam Hussein has far more blood on his hands than Milosevic has.
Yes.
He's because of him, more than a million people have been slaughtered. He uses torture and rape as tools of fear and terror to keep his own, soldiers in line. And he's a brutal murderer dictator. But for one, he wouldn't have agreed to go to The Hague to be tried. So you would have had to start a war in order to arrest him.
Oh, my goodness.
He hasn't left his country in how many years?
My goodness.
Over 20 years he hasn't left.
Well, this so-called, I don't really understand this, United Nations, what exactly are their obligations? But it seems to me that they should send somebody after him then and drag him in.
The United Nations doesn't seem to care much. Now, the liberals in America... they were for us going after Milosevic only because there was a Democrat in the White House. And whatever Clinton wanted to do, they would just wink and nod. They didn't care. They don't care about bombing innocent civilians or using force to bring democracy. They didn't care about any of that in the 1990s. But now we're going after a murderer who has kept 23 million people imprisoned. And because there's a Republican in the White House, now they're against it. So they're a bunch of hypocrites. We know that. I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party myself, but I'm glad that we are that we're going to destroy a terrorist government.
As far as I'm concerned, as an old lady, do you realize I'm a real American? I spent 20 years of my life in Africa. I've lived with all kinds of Muslims. Yes, as a volunteer, when JFK said, "What can you do for your country?" Well, I went and did it.
You did.
I was an ambassador for my country.
Wow.
For my God, your God.
Wow.
And I came back with cancer, a broken neck, fractured spine.
Oh, my.
I'm disabled and alone. My parents died while I was over there. Anyway, to get back to the what I would like to... you know your history. You know the Roman slogan, divide and conquer?
Divide and conquer, yes.
Well, our country is at this moment, there are people... In our family here, I call countries families.
All right.
There are people who have come into our family to live, but they're not obeying our rules, are they? And they're trying to overthrow us and divide us.
Well,
and Mr. JJ is one, and Mr. LK is another.
Well, wait a minute. Do I know who JJ is and LK?
Yes, Mr. Jesse Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he's
and
evil.
Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who went to Africa and had a nice long talk with the Muslims, the fanatical ones. But
now, Louis Farrakhan, the one thing of merit he did was the Million Man Mooch.
Yeah.
The Million Man Mooch. Remember, he was going to give all the money to the people of Washington, D.C.?
Right.
Yeah, well, he mooched. He didn't give them anything.
Well, you know, they're stirring up our racial thing here, and this is what's going on with all these anti-war things. And I would say to our dear children in Hollywood, stick to your acting. since, you know, we have entrusted the defense and the protection of our country to our leaders.
Well, I'm not going to watch the Academy Awards, I'll tell you that.
I guess I shouldn't either, huh?
Well, I'm not going. And you know what? Stick to their acting. I wish most of them would quit even that.
Will you answer another question?
Go ahead. We're almost out of time.
Okay, this stock market. What does that have to do with what happens in Iraq? Because that scares me. Because we're getting so global that what happens over there might ruin us.
Well, it's because let's say oil, for example, Saddam Hussein threat. You know, he's trying to set on fire 1,500 oil wells.
Yeah, all right.
It would be like a thousand Exxon Valdez oil spills.
Oh my gosh!
And it would really hurt. Not only the environment, but the economy. And so as we're preventing him from doing that, oil prices are plunging because the market is confident that the oil supply will be okay so that we can live and not die, maintain our standard of living.
Well, may I call you maybe sometime again?
Please do, Miss Lily. The music's playing. We got to go. Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. And also, when there's stability among nations, then trade improves and business. And you know what the Bible says? Serve one another. And that's the foundation of an economy. When people serve one another, then the economy improves. Did you know that? Yeah. We'd all be way more prosperous if the Bible had more influence. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.